doing Simin Yudalid in Eretz HaTzvi. Simin Yudalid, Begeder Iser Sota Labayla. Oh, so the piece starts with two applications of a very interesting Kal V'chomer. The Gemara in Yevamos says that if a man is Machzir Grusha, so he remarries a woman that he had divorced after she had married somebody else. So that's Asur to do. You are allowed to be Machzir Grusha so long as you are not a Kohen. Right, so long as you're not a Kohen. You're allowed to, meaning a Kohen who divorces his wife, there's finality in that. He's never allowed to remarry her because she's a Grusha, and the Kohen's not allowed to marry a Grusha. But a regular guy, meaning a simple Israel or Levi or whatever, who divorces his wife, is allowed to remarry his wife unless she married somebody else in the interim. So the Gemara says if a person is Machzir Grusha, so after she married somebody else in between, so he did an Aveira. And then the man dies. He did an Aveira. He was living in sin, right? So he dies. So now, I mean, he dies because all people die, but I'm just saying, he haven't been living in sin, and he dies. So normally, and they don't have any children. So what happens normally? Normally, a man dies, doesn't have any children, so what do? You have Yibum with the brother. So the Gemara says, his wife is Eina Misyavemes, she does not do Yibum, that's a dinner on the Daraisa level. There's no requirement of Yibum, based on the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer goes as follows, Ne'esra b'mutala, she's even asked to be with her real husband, and a real husband is normally a mutter relationship, and she's even asked to her real husband because it was a machzir grushaso. So to be with her husband's brother, ba'asula, which is normally a relationship that is absolutely forbidden, lo kol shekein, for sure that shouldn't be allowed. So that's a kal v'chomer on a daraisa level that she doesn't do yibum. Similarly, Gemara Sota, daf hei amud beis, the Gemara says, if a Sota's husband dies before she drinks the mei amarim, so meaning what happens? She never drank the magic waters, right, to determine whether she's innocent or guilty, and the husband dies. And the halacha is, without a husband, you don't drink the magic waters, right? You don't drink the me'amarim. So the husband dies, and there were no children. So does she do yibum? So the Gemara says, no, she doesn't do yibum. Why? Same kal v'chomer. She's usher to her husband until she drinks those magic waters. So even her husband, who she's normally mutter to, she's usher to. So her husband's brother, who she's normally usher to, she should for sure be usher to. Or let's say, for example, forget about the man, a woman cheats on her husband, so she's usher to her husband. And before they ever get divorced, the husband dies. No yibum, because by cheating on her husband, she became usher to her husband. If she becomes usher to her husband, then for sure she's going to be usher to the guy to the husband's brother, who she's normally usher to. So Tosfos Sota asks the following question. He says, I understand this kal v'chomer, but then shouldn't we say the same thing in a case where a couple gets married, and then the man becomes a patsua daka? What's halacha? A patsua daka or krashavcha, someone who's testicles are crushed, someone whose reproductive organs are cut, you know, someone who had a vasectomy, let's say, in modern terms, right? Halach is not allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Did you know that? It's halach, pasuk in the Torah. Not allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. Who is he allowed to marry? Gioris, right? But not a regular Bas Yisrael. So Petzua Dak is not allowed to marry a regular Bas Yisrael. So let's say a couple gets married, and then the man gets a vasectomy. Okay? So now they're usher to each other, right? And then the man dies. Does she do yibum? So what would you say, based on her kal v'chomer, if she's even usher to her husband? So when the husband dies, she should for sure be usher to his brother. So Tosfos Sota says, yeah, but that's not the halacha. So why is it that she's mutter to do yibum to the brother in that case? Right? That's the kasha. So Tosfos Yevamos gives an answer, and he says, we only say this kal v'chomer when there's some maisa that happened to the woman that makes her usher to her husband. She got married to somebody else in between, in the case of Machzir Grushaso. She became a sota by cheating on her husband. But in a case where nothing happened to her, the husband just changed his status. He became a Petzua Daka, so we would not apply this kal v'chomer. Fine, that is stage one. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samech Ches Amud Beis, says that any woman who's Nive'elas L'Pasula becomes psula from kahuna and from truma based on the following pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ubas ish kohen, ki tia li ish zar." when a bas ish kohen, when a bas kohen, is married to an ish zar, someone who's a foreigner in a certain sense, she becomes pasul for kohuna and for truma. What does it mean in ish zar? It means she had bia with someone who's pasul. So the Gemara over there asks, in the Samach Tesam and Aleph, in Mesach Sivamas, why don't we say that a Machzer Grushasa makes the woman Pasul B'Truma? Isn't that also Nivala L'Pasula, meaning a Kohen divorces his wife, remarries her, that's Asur, that's Pasul, right? So shouldn't that Pasul her from Truma? Yet it doesn't. Why don't we say a Pasul from Truma? The Gemara says, no, Ishzar means only somebody who was Zar Etzla Me'ikara, who was always an Ishzar, someone who was always Aser to her. But her husband was Mutter beforehand and only became Aser later on. That's what that's what the Gemara answers. So Tosfos and the Rosh understand the Lima to mean that the word Zar means somebody who was always a Zar. That's what we're just teaching the word. Zar means someone who was always foreign to her. Now the Mishnah in Yevamos Daf Ayin Amud Aleph says, if a man becomes a Ptzua Daka after getting married, and he sleeps with his wife, she becomes pasul. What happened? Couple got married. The man then became a patsua daka. He had a vasectomy. Then they slept together. She becomes pasul because if she's nivala l'pasula, she has be able to be pasul. Pasul su lakuna. But wait a second. What did we just say before? Now, what's the definition of zar? The definition of zar is someone who was foreign, but foreign meaning always foreign. That it was always asif. Well, if a man decides to get a vasectomy, does that mean that retroactively was always us? No, only from the time that he got the vasectomy. So the Rashba asks, how can that be considered? Nivalal Pasla, her husband is clearly not a Zaret Slameikara. So there are two answers to this kasha. Number one, the Rashba writes, Zaret Slameikara is any psulkal. It's by psulkal, even if the problem arose after they were previously married to each other. Meaning, Zaret Slameikara doesn't mean someone who is always aser to her. What Zaret Slameikara means, what Ish Zar really means, is Psule Kahal. Psule Kahal. What's Psule Kahal? People who can't marry regular Jewish women. Mamzer. Ptsuadaka. Right? Psule Kahal. But someone who's Machzer Grushasa, that's not Psule Kahal. That's not a Psule in the Kahal. It's just, you know, your individual circumstances determine that. That's one answer. The Avnei Miluim quotes the Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, it gives a different answer. The Machzer Grushasa is not considered Zaret Slameikara because it's a psul that can only happen if they were once mutter to each other. Whereas a Ptzua Daka, in this case, happened after they were already mutter to each other, after they were already married, but could have just as easily happened before they were ever mutter to each other. And therefore, that's considered a Zaret Slameikara, meaning the definition of Zaret Slameikara. Why is a Ptzua Daka called a Zaret Slameikara, even though they were mutter originally? Because he could have been a Ptzua Daka beforehand. He was eligible to be a Ptzua Daka beforehand. But think about it for a second. To be a Machzer Grushasa, what do you need to be first? You need to be married. In a regular marriage. Meaning you need to be Mutter Meikara in order to be a Machzer Grushasa. That's what the Gemara means. That someone's Mutter Meikara, someone who, the only way to get to that Isser is by being Mutter first. So Rav Shachter explains the Rashba's distinction between a Psul Kal versus a different kind of Psul that arises in the relationship as follows. The Din Nivalal Apostle is not generated by the Isser of the relationship, but by the shame psul on the boel. A woman sleeps with a ptzua daka, she becomes pasul l'kal, not because it's so terribly usur that they slept together, but because he is a pasul. And when he doesn't have a shame psul, it won't pasul her, no matter how usur the relationship is. It's not a function of the isur of the relationship, it's a function of who he is. The Rambam in the 18th parak of Isur Biyah holds that there's an issur d'oraisa for a single guy and a single girl to sleep together. Lo siyah kadesha. Very usur relationship. Single guy, single girl sleep together. Does it make her pasul lakuna? Says the Rambam, no. Ah, but it's an usur relationship. Yeah, but he's not a psul kal. He's just a regular guy. So she does not become a zona halachically. Similarly, someone who's boel anida. Usur relationship to be boel anida? I don't know the answer to this. Usur? Yeah, Asr, right? How Asr, by the way?
Not
chayiv karis, right? So really asif. A woman is a nida has bia with a man. They're both chayiv karis, right? A woman is a nida has bia with a man. Is she pasul lakuna? No. But it's so asir. How is she not pasul lakuna? Because, yeah, it's asir, but pasul lakuna is not a function of the isir. It's a function of, was this man a pasul? And the man was not a pasul. He was just doing a bad aveira. On the flip side, let's say you have a woman who marries a chalal. Regular woman marries a chalal. What's a chalal? A child of, let's say, a kohen and a grusha, right? So he's not a kohen anymore. If one kohen decides to marry a grusha, the child is not a kohen. So a chalal. Is there any isur for that? Is that child like ruined for life? He's not allowed to marry someone? No, he's allowed to marry a regular woman. But that woman becomes pasul kahuna. Why does that woman become pasul kahuna? There was no prohibition, there was no isur in the relationship. Yeah, because pasul kahuna is not dependent on how forbidden the relationship is. Pasul kahuna is dependent on his shame psul. And he is a pasula. But we still need to explain the Mishnah about Nivala L'Petsua Daka becoming pasul. A Petsua Daka can become healed and become mutter. It's hard to call him a psul kal. Right? A Petsua Daka, vasectomies are sometimes reversible. Right? Sometimes you can, a Petsua Daka can, it's hard to say that he, the Gavra is a shame psul. It's difficult to call him a psul kal. And the next day say that that label just disappears. So it seems that a Petsua Daka is an Isser Kahal, but not a Psul Kahal. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained the following. You know, Rav Soloveitchik explained, there's a Rambam in the 16th parak of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. The Rambam holds that even though the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, Kol Asrum Lovu B'Kala Mutarim Lovu Zebezeh, that people who are all different types of people who are Asrum Lovu B'Kala can marry each other, right? So for example, even though normally that's the case, so a mamzer can marry a mamzeres, right? So normally that's okay, but Petsua Daka Kroshovcha is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. Well, why not? Petsua Daka Kroshovcha is psulkal, and mamzeres is psulkal. So it says Rosal Vejig, no. And the Rabbi, by the way, disagrees with the Rambam. He says, sure, they're allowed to. Why not? They're all psulkal. But the Rambam says they're not allowed to. Why? So Rosal Vejig explained beautifully. The mamzeres is a psulkal. The Petsua Daka Kroshovcha is an Isser Kal, because their Psul comes about through a Matzav Hativ'i, like a natural state, not through some halachic chalos, that you are now halachically labeled as this. According to that, though, the Rashba's answer becomes difficult, because even a Petsua Daka then is not a real Psul Kal. So Rav Shapter suggests the following yisod. The Rashba and Rosh Mitzvah are really saying the same thing. That zar etzlam eikar is not just a gzeres hakasuv based on the word zar, but points to a fundamental chilik between the two isurim. And here they are: the Petsua Daka, the mamzer, the kuti, arayos. You know, all these psulim that are considered a real pasula, and an ishzar where there is a regular iserbia. A machzer grushasa, on the other hand, is not that stam. There's an iser, an iserbia. It's mechadish this unbelievable idea that even though the first husband took her back and did a new kiddushin on her, his kiddushin is incomplete. You see, every marriage includes two halachas that kick in when you get married. First halacha that kicks in, she becomes asur to the rest of the world. She's neshes ish. Second halacha that kicks in, she becomes mutter to the husband. When a man is machzer grushasa after she's been married to someone else, only one of those halachas kick in. Which halacha kicks in? She becomes asur to the rest of the world. She's an eshes ish. But the heter lebaila never kicks in. It's an unbelievable yisod. Why is a mamzeres not allowed to marry a regular guy? There's an iser. It's an independent iser. Why is a psua daka not allowed to marry a regular girl? An iser. It's like an active, independent iser. Why is a machzer grushaso, after she married someone else, not allowed to be with his wife? Because his marriage only accomplished half of what it was supposed to accomplish. The heter lebaila never kicked in. And the iser of machzer grushaso was a function of the lack of a full kiddushin. That's the way to look at it. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin Ches says that if the machzer grushaso is boil her without kiddushin. Let's say a man gets divorced from his wife. She goes marry someone else. She divorces that guy. And then she meets up with her first husband again, and they don't get married, but they have bia. Is that an isser of machzor grushasa? See, if it were a psul bia, like a regular isser bia, like a mamzeres to a regular guy, then yeah, it would be an isser, right? But if the whole yisod of machzor grushasa is only that, when you get remarried, the het of the baal doesn't come back, so then you don't have the isser of machzor grushasa. What it is like a single guy and a single girl. It wouldn't be an isser of machzor grushasa. And that's what the Gemara says, you don't get malchus for being machzor grushasa in such a case, because the isser is only derech likuchin. It's only when you have a marriage. It's exactly the same point. The entire isser is only activated by kiddushin, which lacks a het lebaila, and therefore creates its own isser lebaila. But if they never have a kiddushin, it's just the isser of a single guy and a single girl being together. And that's what Tosos meant by a kal v'chomer, that the zikas hayavam is based on the ishus of the deceased brother. And so long as that ishus is incomplete, the zika that results from the ishus is likewise incomplete, meaning as follows. What's yibum? It's just like, what happens? A man and a woman are married, the man dies, so now the brother has a brand new marriage with the woman? So now, as soon as the man dies, there's what's called a zika. What's zika? Not like the mosquito thing. And we had a meeting, did I tell you the story? We had a meeting with Rav Asher Weiss a few years ago. It was Rav Asher Weiss, Rabbi Sabalovsky, Rabbi Shai Schechter, me, and I think Rabbi Dr. Glatt was on the phone. Rabbi Glatt was on the phone, the rest of us were in person. Rav Asher's wife, Zichron Lebracha, was sick at the time, and we were meeting in Manhattan right near the hospital. And Dr. Glatt was asking Rav Asher about halachos relating to the Zika virus, pregnant women going to Florida, this and that, like a whole, you know, and the conversation was going on for 20 minutes. Rabbi Sabalovsky turns to me after 20 minutes and goes, "What does Yvomus have to do with anything?" Like he didn't understand that we were talking about the Zika virus. He just heard Zika and it's Yvomus. He just thought we were talking about Yvomus the whole time. And like it was the first conversation he had ever heard about Yvomus that he didn't chat. You know, so like he didn't understand what was going on. So, but once Zika, when a man dies, and they don't have any children, there's an automatic connection between the brother and the wife. And that connection has to be dealt with. I mean, you either need chalitza to make her mutter to the rest of the world, or you need yibum to make her fully married to the brother. But that connection is there, which indicates what? That when the husband dies, his marriage isn't over. It continues through the person of his brother. It's a continuation of the same marriage. Ah, so you get what happens over here? Let's say a man and a wife are married, right? And they're usher to each other. And then the man dies. His brother, who takes his place, can't possibly be mutter to her. Why? Because the first husband, whose marriage he's taking over, he's stepping in place of, was also not mutter to her. Just like every ishus includes an isra kulei alma and a heter labaila, zika also has two elements. Zika has an isra of Yavama Lashuk. She's not allowed to marry anybody else. And that can be changed through Chalitza. And it has a heter liyavam, which overpowers the normal isra of an Eish HaSach. So a sota is mafkia, and the same should be a sota is mafkia, a portion of the ishos by her behavior. Because what happens? A woman cheats on her husband, and what happens? She becomes asr to her husband, right? If the husband then dies, what's going to happen? Her brother, I mean not her brother, his brother, is also going to be usher to her. Why? Because what's his brother doing? He's taking over that marriage, but that marriage was ruined already. So yeah, he can take over half of that marriage. Which half of that marriage? The part that makes her usher to the rest of the world. Yeah, that part he takes over. But he can't take over the other half of the marriage, the part that makes a mutter to the husband. Now you understand the kal v'chomer that we started with. B'mutr lo ne'esra. If her marriage included an iser that caused a partial uprooting of the marriage with regard to the heta labayla, then the zika is only half a zika. That would prohibit her to the rest of the world, but it would not be matira liyavim. It would not make her mutter to the brother. And that's true because the zika is a direct extension of the original ishus, and it can't be stronger than the ishus that it comes from. And that's why the klal, kol she'eino olu liyibam, eino olu l'chalitza. Normally we have a rule. If a woman is ineligible for yibam, she's ineligible for chalitza. You can't say, oh, this woman is only on a daraisa level. You can't say, oh, this woman is only eligible for chalitza, not for yibam. No, she can't do yibam, she can't do chalitza either. That's not a stira to this halacha of machzer grushasa and the sota being eligible for chalitza but not for yibam on a daraisa level. The klal is only when you have a full ishus and for whatever reason you can't do yibam, then you don't do chalitza. Like, let's say the brother happens to be related to her in a way that she can't... that she can't marry him, right? That's the first mission of Yivamis. Her husband's brother happens to be her father, right? If her husband's brother happens to be her father, right? She married her uncle, right? You figure out the family trees. Yivamis is fun. Her husband's brother happens to be her father, so you can't do Yivam. So you say, okay, just do Chalitza. No! If there's no Yivam, there's no Chalitza! That's when she had a full Ishus with her husband. Then you say, if there's no Yivam, there's no Chalitza. But when she only had a half an ishus with her husband, because she wasn't even mutter to her husband, then you can have a situation where she can't do yibum, but she can't do chalitza, just like with her own husband. She couldn't be with him, but she was still usher to the rest of the world. And now you understand why that kal v'chomer only applies to machshir grusaso and asota. Because every other iserbia is not a function of partial ishus. These are the only two examples where you have a partial ishus. Somebody marries a mamzeres, or a kohen marries a grusha. They have full kiddushin and ishus, but they just also have an iserbia. Meaning it's not that the ishus was only halfway, the ishus was full, it's just that they also have this terrible iser to be with each other. And last thing, Rav Yosef Englund, Siyunim L'Torah, Klal Lamites, explains the Rashi in Parshas Kiseitze. The Rashi writes on the Pasuk, Umesu gam shnehem. Rashi writes, gam l'rabu sabayim achreim, means if somebody is boel her and then somebody else is boel her, I need a pasuk to tell me that the second guy is also chayiv and she hasn't been removed from the category of nashus ish. You have a married woman, a guy sleeps with her, right? Okay, so what happens to her? She's usher to the husband and also usher to the boel. But this woman is a wild woman, so she sleeps with another guy also. Right, but she's already ruined, right? So does she become usher to the second guy that she sleeps with? So I need a pasuk to tell me yes. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me yes? You sleep with a married woman, she's usher to you forever. She's usher to the baal, she's usher to the baal. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me yes? Oh, here's why I need a pasuk to tell me yes. Once the first guy slept with her, what happened? She became a sota. And what happens with the sota? Half of her ishus is gone. What do you mean half of her marriage is gone? Which half? The part that allows her to be with her husband. So I might have thought, but by the time the second guy slept with her, he wasn't sleeping with an Isha Ish. He was sleeping with an Isha It. Right? Half. he was sleeping with only someone who had half an Ishas. So maybe I would have thought there's a havamina to remove her from the status of Eishes Ish. As sotas mafkia Eishes b'mitzas, we might have thought that when she cheats on her husband, she's removed part of the Eishes, and the next guy is not going to be chayiv. The Gemara in Yevamos, Yeralf and Beis Darshan's the pasuk lo yuchal ba'ala harishon asher shalcha, to refer to two distinct isurim, a sota and a machzir grushasa. Because we darshan the pasuk as if it's written with a vav, as if to say ve'achre asher hutama. And not only is a machzir grushasa asur, but even a sota. On a simple level, difficult to understand, what's the connection? Why would you bring in these two parshios and assume that they're connected, a sota and a machzir grushasa? Oh, but now we understand very well. Sota and machzir grushasa are the only two examples of what? Of a half an ishus. They're the only two examples you have in Kala Torah Kula, where something is actually a half an ishus. So that's the first half of Simin Yod Daled of Eretz Hatzvi. Okay.